Gentlemen, thank you for getting ready to tune into your new episode of Shooting Lights Out. Shooting Lights Out, along with the Playmates of Bob Brand, is sponsored by Fanatics. Official license everything with Fanatics. Memorabilia, jerseys, hats, anything that you want, get it from Fanatics. The official license everything. And also, legs. Locker rooms, battle legs, get you customized sets with your favorite team, favorite t-shirt. Customize everything with Locker Rooms by Liz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Shooting Lights Out.
sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud. That's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting Lights Out.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to Shooting Lights Out. Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. Your host, the playmaker himself, down in the silence in the building. I hope y'all ready because the regular season's over in the NBA. Play-in starts tonight and tomorrow. We'll conclude Friday. And then this weekend on Saturday, it is the playoffs. But we're going to focus on the end of the regular season and the play-in as of right now. And we'll come back later on in the week, probably Thursday most likely, to get you ready for the NBA playoffs. So without further ado, let's get right into it right now. NBA, all right. We're getting going around the hardwood. Rudy Gobert swings at Kyle Anderson. Jaden McDaniels thrashes his hand. Sources say, a game that the rules needed. They had two instances happen. The main one, as you see on your screen, is Rudy Gobert and Kyle Anderson getting into it during a timeout against New Orleans Pelicans. Where Rudy Gobert had to be sent home for punching teammate Carl Anderson after the dispute in the team huddle. On the Jaden McDaniels side, he is done for the season because he punched the wall and broke his hand. The idiocy that took place in the final game of the season for the Minnesota Timberwolves blows me away. Kyle Anderson used some words that probably ignited what happened with Rudy Gobert, but Jaden McDaniels, you ended your season due to a broken hand because you punched the wall. You punched the wall and broke your hand. Like, why? Now, I did go on social media and went off on Rudy Gobert for that, but now that I had days to think about it because this happened Sunday. It is now Tuesday. I had 48 hours to think about it. Rudy Gobert is going to be spending for a game, which I'll get into later on. And it should be all right. Plus, after all, you idiots in Minnesota gave up a lot. Five players and four draft picks to get Rudy Gobert to begin with. It's the reason why you stuck with the country that you have with Rudy Gobert. You nimwits in the Twin City. Nevertheless, it is a shame that this happened. But I'll come back to the results of this game later. Luka Doncic's own commitment to Mavs. I'm happy here. Disappointing season for the Dallas Mavericks as they did not make the playoffs nor the play-in. Thus, they season ending when they shut down Kyrie Irving and a host of other players during their final two games of the season. Very pitiful, very pitiful that this happened. But Luka Doncic said he's committed to the team, which most stars say that to begin with. But we'll see when the offseason really starts for the Dallas Mavericks and what transpires between their star player and Luka Doncic and the Mavs organization. The Dallas Mavericks finished the regular season 38-44. They went 2-8 in their last 10 games to miss the play-in. by 2 games. Nevertheless, check out the article that Alex the Bearman Texas put up on our website talking about the Dallas Mavericks and their future after this disappointing season. It is up on our website. Out as Pistons coach, Dwayne Casey moves to the front office. Dwayne Casey decided to no longer coach in the NBA, but he was going to move into the front office for the Detroit Pistons. Very interesting move here. Dwayne Casey announced Sunday that he will step down as coach of the Detroit Pistons and move to a front office role. Following the 103-81 loss to the Chicago Bulls in the Detroit season finale, Casey walked away after the Pistons stumbled through a 17-65 season. This is what Dwayne Casey says. Tom has given me the opportunity to move into the front office, referring to owner Tom Groves, saying, I am excited to go into the next phase of my life. Time to spend more time with my family. This team is on the right track. They probably need to hear a new voice. This is my decision. At 65 years old, Dwayne Casey coached the Pistons from 2018 to now. So he's talking about 5 seasons. The team went 121-263 in those 5 seasons with a win percentage of 31.5. Only won 31% of their games under Dwayne Casey. They made one playoff series, and they were swept in the first round. I said that was back in 2018-2019. But they do have a young team. They do have a young core, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in the upcoming draft to pair with, you know, Jaden Ivey and company for the Detroit Pistons. They ain't the only coaches new that we have, because Steven Silas won't return as coach of the Houston. Houston Rockets announced that Steve Silas is out as head coach after 1 year. No, after 3 years with the team. The Houston Rockets are declining to pick up the fourth-year option of coach Steven Silas' contract, ending his 3-year run, leading the franchise rebuild. The team announced on Monday, which is yesterday. News came shortly after the Rockets beat the Wizards in the regular season finale, the team's fourth win in its last 5 games. GM Raphael Stone released a statement saying, on behalf of the Fertitta family and the entire Rockets organization, I would like to thank Steve. I'd like to thank Steven for his contribution to the team and our Rockets community over the past 3 seasons. I have great respect for Steven both as a person and as a basketball mind. His character, leadership, and positivity have been invaluable during this stage of our growth. Silas replied saying, I feel proud of his time with the Rockets. I wanted to be a head coach my whole life. I wanted to be like my dad, proud of these guys, proud of their hard work, proud of their growth and maturity as they got through the season. Silas at age 49 took over a Rockets team that quickly pivoted into a rebuilding, phase after trading franchise star James Harden. During Silas' first season as coach, the team finished 22-60 this season and were 59-117 overall during the 3 seasons Silas had coached them. It was a very difficult season for Silas. A very difficult season, and nonetheless, a season where a lot of people ain't too happy about this move because you didn't give the man the amount of opportunity to do a rebuilding job. You can't rebuild a franchise after losing star players left and right in 1 year, not even 2 years. It literally takes 3 to 5 years to rebuild. Nevertheless, people feel like Silas was used as the scapegoat in this instance, and I am inclined to believe them, those type of people. That Silas was dealt a very unfavorable hand, and he did the best he could with that unfavorable hand yet again. Another sports franchise in the city of Houston that are doing stupid stuff when it comes to coaches of their organizations. I'll leave it right there. Giannis half and scores 24 as Heat celebrate farewell game. The OG of the Miami Heat, Giannis Haslam, dropped 24 points against my Orlando Magic. As you can see, 123-110 was the final score in the season finale down in South Beach. Great to see the OG get some more playing time for the final time as a Heat player. Giannis Haslam was part of the team that won championships with Dwayne Wade. He was part of all three championships of the Miami Heat. Dwayne Wade, when they had Shaq and them, and then when LeBron came over with Chris Bosh and that team. So he was a champion. He's a leader. It was great to see him go out and have fun one last time for the Miami Heat before he caused it a career. So now going forward, the Heat will get ready for a playing game, which I'll get into for tonight. Good job. You're down the size. Long, very great career. Standing OG. We respect you. We appreciate you. And hopefully we might see you in the Hall of Fame. All right. Now, this is the final standings of the regular season. This is the East, as we all know. The Kings of the East are the Milwaukee Bucks with a 58-24 record. Behind them, it is the Boston Celtics at 57-25. Third was Philly, 54-28. The Cleveland Cavaliers, surprisingly, won 51 games this year to 31 losses. They will see the Knicks in the 4-5 matchup. New York Knicks won 47 games and finishing out the top six is the Brooklyn Nets at 45-37. Your playing features Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, Chicago, respectively. Atlanta held the tiebreaker over the Toronto Raptors. That's why they're the 8th seed and Toronto's the 9th seed. The Bulls squeak in, winning 40 games this year. And Miami, the 7th seed with 44 wins. That is the East. On the West side, the number one team in the West, it is the Denver Nuggets, winning 53 games this season. Second is the Memphis Grizzlies at 51-31. Third place is the surprising Sacramento Kings, winning 48 games this year. Phoenix is the fourth seed at 45-37. They'll be meeting the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs as they won 44 games, holding the tiebreaker over the Golden State Warriors, who also won 44 games. And then your playing spots are the Los Angeles Lakers, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, with Oklahoma City winning 40 games. Pelicans and Timberwolves winning 42 apiece, but Minnesota winning that game, where we talked about the thing between Rudy Gobert and Kyle Anderson and Jaden McDaniels. Yeah, Minnesota still somehow, some way, still won that game. But let me give you the score because I don't think I put the score on here. But yeah, despite the trouble within the Minnesota Timberwolves organization, they still won 113-108. Brandon Ingram from the Pelicans dropped 42 points, but it wasn't enough, even though CJ McCollum added 23 as well. It was the Timberwolves led by Carl Anthony Towns with 30 points. They got 26 from Anthony Edwards, 17 from Mike Conley, 18 from Torian Prince off the bench to hold off the New Orleans Pelicans, surprisingly. Okay. That was a surprise. Now that we got that out the way, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we got to get into the play-in because it's play-in time, baby. The Playmakers Blog is proudly to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official license, sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team. Rep the hardware. Get comfortable. Because Fanatics is the way to go. Where sports fans shop and official license everything. And welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. As you can see on your screen here, the NBA playoffs begins Saturday, April 15th. You got the play-in tournament in the West, Oklahoma City versus New Orleans, the Lakers versus Minnesota in the West. In the East, the Toronto Raptors versus Chicago Bulls, the Miami Heat versus the Atlanta Hawks in the play-in spot for the battle of the 7th and the 8th seed to determine the final 16 teams to have postseason play. But before we can get to Saturday, we got to talk play-in first, and let's begin in the East, where we have the Miami Heat hosting the Atlanta Hawks on tonight at 7 p.m. on TNT. And then tomorrow, you'll see the Toronto Raptors hosting the Chicago Bulls at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Beginning with the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks, ladies and gentlemen, we have Trae Young, Javante Murray leading the Hawks against Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. This is the first play-in game. This game will be out at 7:30, not 7 p.m. That's my correct being corrected. 7:30 p.m. on TNT down in South Beach. As I look at it here, we have the Miami Heat as a 4.5 favorite according to Vegas. ESPN says that the Miami Heat has a 56.4% chance of winning this game, but the Atlanta Hawks to clinch the 7th seed. By the way, the winner of this game will see the Boston Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. That's something to look at too. Nevertheless, we're talking about Heats and Hawks. The Miami Heat won the regular season 3-1 over the Atlanta Hawks. With the Miami Heat winning the last two games back in March 4th and March 6th. Both games were in Miami. The leaders of the team, there's no doubt about it who we know who the leaders are of this team. We have Trae Young on one side for the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young has been pretty quiet this year, to say the least. Now, nothing real believe fanfare going on with Trae Young as opposed to other seasons. This year, Trae Young has averaged 26.2 points per game, which is 10th in the league, giving you 10.2 assists per game, which is second in the league, shooting 43% from the field and 33.5% from three. Like I said, it's been kind of a down year for Trae Young this year, and not the typical numbers that I'm used to hearing when it comes to Trae Young. Wondering what's going on with Trae Young and see what's going on. This is pretty much his third lowest scoring percentage in his career, going dating back to his rookie year when he only averaged 19 points per game, and then his third year when he averaged 25. Definitely down from last year when he was scoring 28.4 points a game. His assists went up a bit from 9.7 to 10.2. His shooting percentage has dipped, though. Last year, he was shooting 46%. He's shooting 43%. From three-point range, he was shooting 38.2% from three. He's only shooting 33.5% from three. Down year for Trae Young. It's been pretty much of a down year. Now, you could say it could be the coaching change because they did get rid of Nate McMillan and they brought in Quinn Snyder. Quinn Snyder's only been up for like 20-something-odd games. So that could be a problem. Another one could be that he has a running mate this time in Javante Murray, who they traded for this offseason from the San Antonio Spurs. During his first year with the Atlanta Hawks, he's scoring 20.5 points per game, giving you 5.3 rebounds a game, along with 6.1 assists per game while shooting 46.5 from the field and 34.4% from three during his first year with the Atlanta Hawks. So could be the reason why Trae Young's not shooting the ball as much or not having the high percentage of shooting that he usually has. That could be something to do with it. But nevertheless, the Atlanta Hawks, they are in the play-in, and they do have a shot at winning the 7th seed of the Miami Heat to get to the Boston Celtics, which I don't believe is going to happen because I got Miami in this one. It's been a down year for Miami, to say the least. That's called what it is. But usually Miami's not even talked about that much regardless of what kind of year they're having. But Miami, they have three guys that are averaging 20 or more points per game, starting with this main man of South Beach. That would be Jimmy Butler with 22.9 points per game. Pretty much he's scoring 23 points per game. You got Bam Adebayo scoring 20.5 points per game. Then you have Tyler Herro at 20 per game. Bam is almost giving you a double-double with 9.2 rebounds a game. Jimmy Butler's averaging six rebounds a game and five assists a game. Tyler Herro was giving you five rebounds a game and four assists a game. So the West is being spread. They also have three other guys who scores double digits a game with Mark Struth at 11.5, Kyle Lowry at 11, and Victor Oladipo basically at 11.5. So even though it's been a down year for the Miami Heat, they are still doing their thing. And nevertheless, they are still one of the Let me see. Defensively, they are one of the most defensive teams in the league. They only give up 110 points per game, which is the second best in the East behind the Cleveland Cavaliers, who only give up 107 points a game to their opponents. So that defensive prowess is still there for the Miami Heat. So you have to contend the fact that you have to score. You have to be able to score points against the Miami Heat, or Miami Heat will run away with it. As the Miami Heat average 110 points a game themselves. Hawks are averaging 118 points a game, but they give up 118 points per game. So we could see a high scoring affair tonight to begin the play-in tournament between the Hawks and the Heat. But as I said earlier, I like the Miami Heat. I'm taking the home team in this one. I'm taking the Heat to handle business and do what they need to do to move on and face the Boston Celtics in the first round of the NBA playoffs. That is at 7:30 on TNT. Your doubleheader is at 10 p.m. Well, tomorrow the East will begin in up north, should I say, in Canada. Good old Canada, because we have the Toronto Raptors hosting the Chicago Bulls. That game is at 7 p.m. on ESPN tomorrow, whereas the Toronto Raptors, who are a 5-point favorite according to Vegas, and ESPN Analytics are giving the Raptors a 57.7% chance of winning that game. You have the likes of DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine heading up north to face off against Pascal Siakam. Doubtful, very, very bleak, a doubtful OG and Anunoby in the rest, but I have a feeling they might play. I don't think they're going to miss this game, because you win, you move on to Friday. You lose, you're eliminated from playoff contention. That's pretty much this game. This is an elimination game from postseason contention between the Bulls and the Raptors in the 9-10 spot in the East. As I mentioned earlier, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan is the leaders of the Chicago Bulls. You have Zach LaVine averaging 25 points a game with 4.5 rebounds a game, 4.2 assists per game. DeMar DeRozan, 24.5 points per game with 4.6 rebounds a game and 5 assists per game. They are the leaders. Do you still have Nikola Vucevic as the big man, giving you 17.6 points per game with 11 rebounds a game? You have a double-double right there. But will that be enough to get past a Toronto Raptors team here that has been up and down, to say the least? And that has been up and down, to say the least. But when they're at home, they know how to win. Both teams are 6-4 in their last 10 games coming in. So both teams are feeling good about how they've been playing so far. But when it comes down to Pascal Siakam, the man is averaging 24 points per game, about 8 rebounds a game, and 6 assists a game. Van VanVleet giving you 19 a game, along with 7 assists a game. You got Gary Trent Jr. giving you 17 a game. OG Anunoby at 16. Scottie Barnes at 15. Jakob Poeltl at 13 a game with 9 boards a game. This team is loaded. Otto Porter Jr., Mike Flynn. This is a loaded team over here in Toronto. And I don't think the Bulls have enough firepower. I don't think they have enough depth. Because once you get past that LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Vucevic, where does Kobe Wright fit in? Where does Patrick Williams fit in? You had Gordon Dragic. You got Patrick Beverley out of Caruso, who's been up and down. Where are the others for the Chicago Bulls going to be at outside of those three that I just named out of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Vucevic? Outside of that, who else is coming to play for the Chicago Bulls to help them move on to Friday's game against the loser of the Hawks Heat game? I already put the Hawks in that game, and I'm saying Toronto's going to be in that game. I'm thinking the Bulls get run out of Canada. They start their vacation right after the game, because they're not winning. I don't see them winning in Toronto. Okay. So in the East, I have the Heat taking the 7th seed And I have the Hawks in Toronto meeting up and down in Atlanta for the eighth seed on Friday night. That's just how I see it. Then we go to the West Coast and the Western Conference that we see here start off tonight after the Heat Hawks game. You have the Timberwolves at the Lakers on TNT. And then tomorrow after the Bulls in Toronto game, you have the Thunder versus the Pelicans. Starting things off with the Timberwolves and the Lakers, who will be meeting after the Heat and Hawks tonight. I like the Lakers because, obviously, what we talking about? Rudy Gobert suspended for this game for his punch heard around the world to Kyle Anderson. And also, Jaden McDaniels is done for the season because, as I mentioned earlier, he punched the wall. Vegas says 8.5 Lakers. ESPN Litigo says 87% Lakers. Like, nobody sees a chance in hell that this team is going to win. Nobody does. It's the idiocy of the Minnesota Timberwolves that pretty much gave the Lakers the 7th seed. In my opinion, it's just the idiocy. And speaking of which, Minnesota did take 2 out of 3 from the Lakers, by the way. They beat them in L.A. back on March 3rd, 110 and 102. But the Lakers returned the favorite end of March, 123, 111 in Minnesota. So even though I'm saying all this, and I'm saying the EDC of the Timberwolves is the reason why the Lakers are going to win, they still got Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns is back, to say the least. Despite Carl Anthony Towns only playing what? 29 games this year. He did give the Timberwolves 21 points a game with 8 rebounds a game and 5 assists a game. Anthony Edwards has been holding it down from start to finish. 25 points per game, 6 rebounds a game, and 4 assists a game. But they're going to need help. Can Mike Conley do what D'Angelo Russell is doing for the Lakers? Is Naz Reid available? What would Kyle Anderson do now after what him and Rudy Gobert have been through? Well, how would Torian Prince play in this game? Okay. Austin Rivers, when the last time we seen him on the court playing games? Brent Ford was a star for the Milwaukee Bucks, but now he barely plays. So what's going to happen to the Minnesota Timberwolves because you're going against a Lakers team? A Lakers team who has been on a roll since the trade deadline, getting D'Angelo Russell, Mikal Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, to go along with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Alex Caruso. Austin Reed has been playing better. This Lakers team has been on a mission. This Lakers team, which y'all know I'm a big Laker hater and I hate doing this. They are 8-2 in their last 10. They have been rolling. Okay, they have been rolling. They finished the season 4 games above 500. I said this and I meant it. Come back to me when the Lakers are above 500. They're above 500. They are in the play-in, and it looks like they are going to beat Minnesota to get the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round of the playoffs, which doesn't bode well for me because I picked Memphis to get to the Western Conference Finals. My Western Conference Finals don't look good either way because I have the Grizzlies most likely facing the Lakers, and then I have the Clippers, who I picked to come out the West, facing the Suns, which I'll deal with that later on in the week. Nevertheless, it is the Lakers. Finishes 20th season in the league, the King LeBron James giving you 29 points per game, 8 rebounds a game, and 7 assists a game. The running mate, Anthony Davis, 26 points a game, 9 rebounds, 12 and a half rebounds a game. Been doing this thing. Then D'Angelo Russell has come in with Dylan Everly, 17 points per game, 6 assists a game. Austin Reeves, who was up to scoring as of lately, has been playing better. Dennis Schroeder gets in every now and then. Yeah, Malik Beasley, who's been struggling shooting the ball as of lately, but he can get hot at any time. Richie Aramore, also another shooter. Jared Vanderbilt, a defensive-minded type of guy. This team is rounding into form, and I don't like it. I don't like it, but the Lakers are running into form. And last Sunday, LeBron James put on a good old performance against the Utah Jazz. LeBron James in that game. Let me go back to that game from Sunday against the Utah Jazz. LeBron James was put on a shooting performance. We're talking 36 points, 8 from 14 from 3, 13 from 25 from the field. With 6 points and 6 boards. Anthony Davis gave you 16 to 13. He didn't really leave much. D'Angelo Rose was 17. Jared Vernon with 12. Austin Reeves, 12. Rory Hachimura off the bench with 12. Malik Beasley off the bench with 13. These guys have been playing better. They're shooting 48. They shot 48.5% from the field. They shot 40% from three against the Utah Jazz. This team is running in form. I don't like it. But how I do this, I talk real. And the realness in me is saying the Lakers win, going away, and they get ready for Memphis Grizzlies in the first round of the playoffs. And Minnesota will have to play at home Friday night to get the AC. Who could they possibly face in the AC? That is a question to be answered because on tomorrow night, after the Bulls Raptors, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder and the New Orleans Pelicans on ESPN. I don't know what to think because, one, Zion Williamson ain't playing. We haven't seen Zion Williamson since January 2nd of the new year, which is ridiculous. You have a hamstring injury, and I need to look this up. Because I need to know, on average, what's the recovery time for a hamstring injury? Mild to moderate grade 1 or grade 2 tears or strains can heal within 3 to 8 weeks with diligent home therapy. This is typical hamstring injury. Now look up for NBA players. Hamstrings in the NBA generally result in a 10 to 14 day absence if it's mild, while minor strains often take around 3 to 6 weeks. Severe strains are where things get tricky as they are closer to a rupture and can take months to heal. The reason why I'm looking at this is because Zion Williamson won't be playing. We haven't seen Zion Williamson since January 2nd. It is now April 11th. We're talking 3 months. 3 whole months. Okay. Zion Williamson injured his hamstring in January 2nd against the 76ers. In the immediate aftermath, the team announced that he could miss multiple weeks, but they did not specify a timeline. The only information provided that he will be evaluated after 3 weeks. After those 3 weeks, on January 24th, the Pelicans said they believed the hamstring was healing as intended, but they didn't believe he was ready to return. So they gave him an additional 2 weeks. So we're at week 5 now. And after that 2 weeks, they said he'll be ready by 1 more week into where we are headed now. This brings us to the current status. Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball with David Griffin said on February 2nd that Zion that Wilson aggravated his right hamstring and will be sidelined for several more weeks. Before this, Wilson had advanced through his rehab to 3-on-3 work, which is generally considered the first big step towards return. It's assumed that he aggravated the hamstring doing this work, causing a setback. With Wilson slated to miss additional time, let's take a look at the injury itself and why it is so difficult to deal with, as well as Zion's injury history. Hamstrings are generally in the NBA result in 10 to 14 day absence. If mild, while moderate, often can take 3 to 6 weeks. Serious strains are where things get tricky as they are close to a rupture in the muscle. And could take up 2 months to heal. So, are we saying Zion Williamson has a grade 3 severe strains
which are anything greater than a grade two and could include a full washer. Zygmunson was initially diagnosed with a grade two. When he returned to three-on-three work, it's likely he overworked it, causing the aggregation. Now we have diagnosed to be a grade three strain. This is why no other Pelicans will never reach their potential. Because their star player, and Zion Williamson, is never healthy enough. When he was healthy, they didn't have Brandon Ingram. And without Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson had the Pelicans in the top three slot in the West. But when Brandon Ingram comes back, Zion Williamson goes down. Not only does Zion Williamson go down, he re-aggravates the injury during the rehab. Which is why we're at the point where Zion Williamson can't even play in the play-in. And who knows if the Pelicans can survive and make the AC against the Denver Nuggets, that he will be ready for that game and that series. So now that I got my Zion Williamson out the way, back to the Thunder and the Pelicans. ESPN analysts are giving the Pelicans a 63% chance of winning this game over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Vegas is giving the Pelicans 5.5 as the home favorite. It's pretty much Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading one of the youngest teams in the NBA against Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum and the Pelicans. See, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, has been crazy, man. Scoring 31.5 points per game with 5 rebounds and 5 assists a game. He's leading the youngest team in the league because the next closest person to him is Josh Giddey, who is only scoring 17 points per game. That's a whole 17-point difference between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the second-best player on the team. That's how much Shai Gilgeous-Alexander means to the Oklahoma City Thunder, because without him, they would not be in the play-in. Matter of fact, they'll be in the bottom tier of teams with the Houston Rockets, the Detroit Pistons in that group there. That's how much Shai Gilgeous-Alexander means to them. But they have a tall test because we're talking Brandon Ingram scoring 25 points per game with 5 rebounds and 6 assists a game. CJ McCullough scoring 21 points per game to go along with 6 assists and 4 rebounds a game. Then you have Trey Murphy, who's giving you 14.5. You have the big man in Vukovic, who's giving you 14 a game. And then Jose Calderon, whenever he wants to, he can give you a good 15, 18-point game whenever he's feeling it. Herb Jones is no score. He can put points on the board as a good defender. The Pelicans made it tough on themselves, but they'll get past Oklahoma City, which leads me to the rematch that took place on Sunday between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New Orleans Pelicans Friday night. For the AC. Okay. So that's the recap real quick. Let me go back. So you understand what I'm doing. So this is the East right here. I have the Heat beating the Hawks, sending the Heat into the first round matchup with the Boston Celtics as the 7th seed, and making Atlanta play a home game on Friday against the Toronto Raptors. I feel the Toronto Raptors are going to send the Bulls on packing for the season. And then in the West, I have the Lakers taking down the Timberwolves tonight, sending the Lakers to the 7th seed and facing Memphis Grizzlies in the first round of playoffs, while the Timberwolves will host the New Orleans Pelicans on Friday night for the AC and a date with the Denver Nuggets, okay? So that pretty much wraps it up for me today. Like I said, I'll be back probably Thursday to preview the ACs on both conferences and get you ready for the NBA playoffs that start on Saturday. So until then, catch y'all later.
But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your canvas.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the
thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.